Welcome to the College Admissions Process Podcast presented by Prep Expert. Prep Expert offers live online SAT and ACT courses with the best score guarantees, instructors, and curriculum. Go to prepexpert.com to guarantee your child's success. Welcome to the CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. I am your host, John Durante, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you today Jen Gagne, who's the Executive Director of Admissions at the Colorado School of Mines. Jen, I'm so happy to have you here today. How are you?
I am doing so well, John. Thanks so much for having me. Really excited to talk about mines and to be here today.
I've had a couple of listeners actually emailing me saying, could you get the Colorado School of Mines? I said, all right, I'm trying. And here we are with the executive director. So Jen, so glad to have you here today. Can you share what's new on campus at the Colorado School of Mines in terms of any exciting developments or any upcoming projects?
Absolutely. So we just celebrated our 150th anniversary. As we like to say, we all got really good at saying sesquicentennial, which is our 150th. And so that happened in 2024. We were founded in 1874. So as much as we've celebrated our history and the 150 years of being a great STEM institution, all eyes are on the future. And we are all about right now developing an innovator's mindset, pursuing entrepreneurship and innovation. And we have really exciting brand new buildings on campus that are helping to support students in these avenues. So we're providing students with the opportunity to learn about what it's like to solve problems and to understand how they're going to solve those problems in makerspaces and then potentially create companies and invest it. We have our McNeil Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation is our signature experience where students learn about the process of solving problems that matter. We really like to solve problems here. It's all about engineering and science and technology. And that is a really great start for our students. And then our brand new building that we open is Labriola Innovation Hub. It's a playground for students. It's a 40,000 square foot makerspace. We think it might be the biggest in the country. We're not sure, but it's one of the largest. It is massively impressive. This makerspace has a cutting edge metal and woodworking shops. There's 3D printing galore, rapid prototyping equipment, electronic fabrication lab, you name it, this place has it. And the goal is that students can go in there with an idea and create something. We have a tool shed where they can get all the tools that they need and loan them out. And then also both of our cornerstone and capstone design courses, which all first-year students and senior students take, it's all about design engineering. And so they're understanding that process. The classes are held there. And so they're able to just go in and out and have a ton of fun. So students, after they've made something, they can go to the Beck Venture Center, which is a 30,000 square foot building and features co-working, event space, innovation space, and of course a coffee shop, because that's really important. and so it's a space where students can really bring their ideas to life and they can get connected with Mines affiliated entrepreneurs and investors, mentors and companies. So the idea is that they're collecting, they're collaborating, and they can launch these ideas. Labriola Innovation Hub and Beck Venture Center just opened up this last year, and they're gorgeous. It's really fun to see students in them and all the classrooms and all the fun things that are happening. It's pretty awesome.
Well, that is awesome. And congratulations on the 150th anniversary of your amazing history as a STEM institution. I love how you talked about the fact that, quote unquote, all eyes are on the future. Mines is full of tremendous innovation and opportunities for all of your students, both inside and outside of your classrooms. And I know that they're really happy there. And you know why, Jen? Because I read that your retention rate is an astonishing 92%, which is well above the national average. So what is it about your school community, academics, extracurricular offerings that make students want to return each year? And are there any programs in particular that the Colorado School of Mines offers to help students transition from high school to your university?
Yep, absolutely. We are really proud of our retention rate. It is something that honestly blows me away. And I'm reminded by that when I talk with other colleagues across the country about retention rates. I've worked at many other universities where retention rates haven't been as high. And it is something that's really exciting. And just, it does speak to our student experience, our signature experiences that we have to offer for students. I would say our community is really second to none. I feel like you might get a lot of that with people bragging, but I will say I've been at Mines for 7 years. I started off in our academic advising and academic support office in student life. And so I know the passion that goes into all of our student life folks on campus to help support students as they pursue their education at Mines. We're, you know, our campus is filled with students who are passionate about STEM, right? We know that, but they're also passionate about their life outside of the classroom and what they do. And honestly, students support each other like nowhere else. One of my sayings that I like to say is you can't do Mines alone, and you have to link arms with each other. There are going to be areas that one student's going to excel in, and that then they're going to need assistance from someone else in another area, and vice versa. So really, they're climbing together. They are sharing each other's ideas and successes and challenges. There's no race for first place at Mines, which I really like. And I think students do have a little bit of transition. I think often in high school, and especially in the senior year as they're applying to colleges, it's a competition, right? It's this, okay, I got in, where are you going? How's it going? There's a lot of competition. And then once they get to Mines, it's like, that's over. Just focus on doing well, focus on supporting each other, and have fun too. Mines is challenging, but again, we have lots of opportunities for fun. Something that I think is a really big deal for us is, so we're an NCAA Division II school, and our football team has made it to the national D2 championships the last 2 years. Now, unfortunately, we didn't go home with a national title, but it was really great to see that action, the support of students. We got buses that took our students out to McKinney, Texas to watch the championship football game. And we had great signs. And our football players wear their majors on the back of their helmets. So then when they're tackled, they know they were tackled by a mechanical engineer. Because we don't have easy majors here. So it's really fun. But, you know, we've got clubs and activities and intramural sports. We have over 200 clubs and organizations for students to join. I like the charcuterie club personally, and we also have Mines Little Theater. So students are doing everything from music and involvement to leadership and undergraduate research. So there are so many things for students to get involved in. And that's something that I really encourage our students to do. I'd say most of them are pretty hesitant that first semester to get involved because they want to understand what their coursework is going to be like. And they say, yes, but also involvement is going to help you with your time management. And so finding something that maybe might be a new passion or a passion that you want to continue on is really important that you do that. So that's really great.
Well, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And it really does sound like a truly collaborative experience for all of your students. Again, not only in your classrooms, but beyond. So let's dig into the application review process itself. First off, I want to ask Jen, what's your institutional priority in terms of the number of freshmen you are looking to admit each year as an incoming class, of course, and how many overall applications do you receive to try to fulfill that freshman class number?
Mm-hmm. Yep. We usually receive about 12 or 13,000 applications each year, and we have 1,500 spots in our first year class. We're not looking to expand our undergraduate size because we're pretty landlocked, and we're, you know, locked in terms of classrooms, and we want to make sure that we're supporting our students well. And so we accept about 6,000 of those 12,000 applications. So we're accepting just about half of those students to make it to our class of 1,500.
Well, we appreciate that. You said you get about 12 to 13,000 applications. You're accepting approximately 6,000 to hopefully yield that freshman class of approximately 1,500. You know, I mention all of this because sometimes a student, they apply to a school, they get deferred, they get rejected, something happens, and immediately they think it's their fault. But sometimes it's based on sheer numbers, institutional priorities. So students, remember, there are things that you control. Always put your best foot forward. Always, you know, look at each part of the application and present yourself in the best light possible. But at the end, remember that there's also things that you don't control, such as an institutional priority. In this case, we're looking for a freshman class of only 1,500. So, Jen, could you explain Mines' holistic review process and what specific attributes or experiences the admissions team looks for when reviewing those applications?
Absolutely. I always try to explain because I think sometimes holistic review can be this confusing higher ed word. So basically all it means is we're looking at everything that an applicant is sending us. So we look at the overall application, we look at transcripts, letters of recommendations, essays, test scores if they send them in. And then for us, the high school transcript is the most important part of the application. because we're a STEM institution, our first math class is Calc 1. So students have to have prerequisite math and science courses in order to do well at Mines. And I always say, when we say yes to someone being admitted to Mines, we're saying yes, that you can graduate from Mines. And having that math preparation is really key. Students need to have pre-calculus and trigonometry in order to succeed at Mines and start in that Calc 1 coursework. And we want to see them challenging themselves. We want to see students that are involved outside of the classroom. We care about knowing how you're a leader in your community, if you're involved in a club or activity or a sport or trauma or anything else. If you're taking care of your family, if you're having to work to support your family, we want to know everything about a student. And so really, we take everything into consideration. We're looking for reasons to say yes to students. We really want to make sure that we are saying yes to students who are academically prepared, but also are going to bring a new vision to problem solving, because we are all about problem solving. So we're looking at everything. We want to know really what students are thinking about and why they want to attend Mines. So we do have optional essay questions, but we have said they're, you know, highly recommended for best consideration, because Mines is a unique institution and we like to see students who have at least learned a little bit about us and know that where we're located and what we offer, and that they can see themselves fitting in on our campus.
Well, I think that's important. You know, you want to admit students that show off the fact that, as you put it, they show that they at least learned a little bit about something. So students, it's very important in the application to demonstrate your understanding, right, of the institution that you're applying to help you stand out. Because a lot of times students, they answer questions very generally. They use the same activity sheet for each school. They use the same essay for each school. But Jen just said it here. If you demonstrate your understanding of the institution, I would imagine that that's going to help you in the overall application. Would you agree with that, Jen?
I agree. Yes, absolutely.
You know, and then of course you mentioned the fact that the number one thing that you look at is the high school transcript, specifically because Mines is an amazing STEM school. You want to make sure that the math and science preparation is intact, so that if the students are admitted, they're able to handle the work. You talked about being a community member. And I also like that you said, and I quote, bring a new vision to problem solving, right? So students, demonstrate what you did in high school that will make the admissions officers see that you are that kind of student that's going to bring a new vision to problem solving. So anything else you want to add to that, Jen?
Yes, I ran into a recent alum. So he was at Mines not too long ago, and I was explaining to new students how we view a holistic admissions review and that we care about everything that a student does. And he laughed and he said, when I applied, you only cared about GPA and test score. And I said, yes, we used to have a matrix. And it was test scores and GPA, and this was a yes or a no. And I'm so glad that we have moved past that and that we really do care about everyone's experience and background to come to Mines.
Well, we appreciate that. And has the Colorado School of Mines made any changes to its standardized testing policy? And how do you currently weigh SAT or ACT scores in your application review?
We have followed the state of Colorado. We are a test optional institution, as are all public institutions in Colorado. So if a student sends in a test score, we'll include it as one aspect of their application, but we operate from a do no harm stance. So we're not going to penalize students if you don't send in a test score. We're not going to wonder why if you or if you send in a test score that isn't quite at our range. We are always looking for a reason to say yes. And so we might dig in a little bit more about, okay, what have you done in the classroom? What has your math and science background been? A test score is one piece of information, but I don't ever want it to be a limiting or a determining factor that student isn't going to apply to Mines.
Understood. And of course, another huge piece of the overall application are those personal essays. And so, Jen, have you seen any recent trends in students' personal statements and essays that stand out in a positive or, frankly, a negative light? And can you share some tips for crafting that compelling narrative?
Absolutely. I think the main trend that I'm seeing is just the stress associated with crafting a personal narrative, right? Having it this 500 words or however many words has to be so amazing and so incredible. And I like to dial that back and just say, you know what? I think an essay brings an application to life. It's where I'm able to get a view, a glimpse more into and beyond what someone's done in high school or beyond a resume. So I think it's important that students are really authentic, that they're talking about themselves and trying not to think about what I or another admissions officer wants to hear. But what do you want to share? We get a lot of questions about students saying, should I talk about something even if it's not related to STEM? And our answer is yes. Again, I want to know what's important to you. If you really care about gardening and you've been interested in that for a long time, tell me about it, right? Just tell me something that is going to help me get to know you a little bit more, and try not to stress too much about it. But I know that that's, you know, my main thing is don't just copy and paste from ChatGPT either. That's, I know, a big topic, but use it as a resource, but don't copy and paste.
Absolutely. Don't copy and paste from ChatGPT. But I also love what you talked about, which is you want to learn a little bit more about the student. So another tip, students, is don't just repeat something that's easily found on your transcript, something that's easily found on your activity sheet. Try to make it where, again, Jen or someone on her admission staff, they read that essay and they're learning something new about you. Because if they're not learning something new about you, it's a missed opportunity. Go back to the drawing board and make sure that you're adding to your overall application. And so, Jen, how do you evaluate extracurricular activities and leadership roles in the application? I know we touched upon it a little bit, but has this aspect become more or less significant in the overall review over the last couple of years?
Yeah, it's definitely become more important just because we know there are so many amazing students out there, right? There are so many amazing students who have done great in their academics. And then it is the, and what else, right? We would just want to know what else you're doing. But again, like I said earlier, we want to know if you're unable to participate in extracurricular activities for whatever reason, we want to know why, right? We want to, again, get a little bit of glimpse into your life. We want to hear if you're helping out your family members, if you need to work. But if you're involved in something, we also want to hear about that. We want to know, you know, why did you join that? What are you doing to maybe enhance and further that? Are you, you know, taking on a leadership role in an organization? Or are you trying something new because you learned about it from somewhere else? What I don't love to see is kind of a nervous, oh, I joined 18 clubs my junior year to make sure my resume stood out well. Like, I'd say do it because it's something that's interesting to you and not for someone else or a check the box.
Well, I appreciate that. You touched upon a whole bunch of things. First of all, adding 18 clubs in that junior year really sends the wrong message to the admissions rep, right? It looks like, oh, I realize that I have to do college applications soon, so I better do a lot of activities. And all of a sudden you see a big number like 18 in junior year. So that's obviously a red flag. But I really appreciate you talking about if you're not part of many clubs because you have to do something such as take care of a family member. Students, you've heard this before. It's very important for you to indicate that somewhere on your application, so you're not leaving it to the admissions representatives to speculate as to why. Perhaps you need to take care of a family member, which, by the way, shows a lot of leadership. Perhaps you're holding a part-time job, which also shows a lot of leadership. So make sure you're including those things again, so you're not leaving it to the representatives to speculate as to why. And also, you've talked about the fact that if you're in a certain club, explain why. You know, what's the reason for that club? What is it that, you know, motivates you to be there? So again, giving insight into who you are as an overall applicant. So Jen, obviously the letter of recommendation is another piece. What makes a letter of recommendation truly impactful? And have there been any notable examples recently that made a difference in an applicant's evaluation?
Yep. I love that question because, you know, we see a lot of letters of recommendation come in. I think the best ones that we see and the really, really key ones are ones that support an application in what an applicant has told us. And so it might be providing further insight as to maybe bragging a little bit more about how great a student is in a classroom. Students, we know it's hard to brag about yourself, but we do. Again, we want to know about these great things. And so I've seen letters where it's a teacher who is just so excited about the potential that this student has, or how they've overcome challenges and really still cared about their academics, or maybe it's from a coach or an employer supervisor of this is how they are great and wonderful in the world. And so again, it's adding to more reasons for this is why we want to say yes, it helps. I've also seen really important letters of recommendation that have talked about maybe the challenges that a student's been facing. And we always have an area where, you know, life happens. If something goes wrong with a semester and grades aren't as great, we always want students to tell us about that. But sometimes a teacher's perspective or a counselor's perspective can add that and say, you know, this might be a blip, but again, their long-term performance really outweighs just that, you know, one challenging semester.
Well, I appreciate that. And again, another indication that each piece has to build on the next. So a teacher's letter that explains things like that is far better than them just writing about something you can find easily on the transcript, something that you can find easily on the activity sheet. So students, I know that it's hard, but perhaps if there is, for example, an initiative that you took in a class or a club, perhaps ask the teacher if he or she would be willing to write about that. Again, keeping in mind, you're trying to understand what each part of the application represents while being mindful of having each build upon the next. So again, we appreciate that, Jen. And getting back to MINDS in terms of the overall application, what are the different ways that a student may apply? In other words, early decision, early action, regular decision. And is there a benefit to applying one way over the other in terms of being admitted or even being considered for things like merit scholarships?
Oh yeah, love to talk about this. So we offer early action and then regular decision. So our priority deadline is November 1st. It's non-binding. And we do encourage students that want to attend MINDS to apply by November 1st because we get more applications than we receive and we have to go to a wait list. So I want to make sure that if students, for them to get the best consideration, please do apply by that November 1st deadline. Because again, it doesn't mean that you're committed to us. It just allows you more time to think about all your options as you're pursuing your college decisions. So we'll get you an answer quicker. It doesn't impact merit aid when a student applies. But again, I think it's a really key thing for students to be able to apply early for us.
Well, I think that's great advice. You know, students use the summer between junior year and senior year to complete those applications, get the application in by, as Jen mentioned, that November 1st deadline. First of all, so that you could receive your answers earlier from the colleges, but also it'll hopefully allow you to enjoy that awesome senior year of high school. So Jen, looking ahead, what are some of MINDS' strategic goals or visions for the next 5 to 10 years? And how might these influence the university's appeal to prospective students?
Oh, yes. So when I mentioned future, that is really leaning into the future. So we have banners all around campus. We're talking about the future of technology, the future of business, the future of energy, the future of computing and engineering. We are, again, problem solvers. So we're really leaning into being problem solvers. The world is changing so rapidly. And our goal is to make sure that we're preparing students to solve those problems that are yet unknown to us. So as we move forward into the future, we want to attract students who are also passionate about that too. We always say we don't create classroom engineers. We create real engineers who have that hands-on experience because of all of our hands-on learning that happens in and outside of the classroom. That's why employers really look to hire MINDS graduates because they know they have both the education and the experience to hit the ground running from day one. And so looking at all of our campus building, like we house the U.S. Geological Survey on campus, and we're in the middle of construction for the new USGS Energy and Minerals Research Building. It's going to be a collaborative building where students and faculty at MINDS and USGS staff can come together and really focus on solving the critical mineral and energy challenges of today and the future. Again, it's so important. Everyone loves a smartphone and we need lots of minerals to make those work. And, you know, and thinking about computer chips and, you know, we're a quantum hub. So we're part of the quantum hub in Colorado and really making sure that we are addressing both critical workforce needs as well. So we are always trying to lean into what's going to happen in the future. How do we make sure that we're preparing our students so they're going to be the ones at the table helping to solve those problems?
Well, that's awesome. Obviously, you're a STEM school, so you're by default always looking to the future. But I love that you said one goal is to prepare your students to solve problems that are unknown to us. I think that is so cool. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's so much innovation at MINDS, obviously. So what about students that may have had an IEP or a 504 plan while in high school, Jen? What resource does MINDS offer to help ensure that all students continue to be supported and successful once they're on your campus?
Oh, yeah. Our disability support services staff, they're amazing. They're committed to making sure that students are have equal access to our courses, programs, and activities that we offer at Mines. They do individual intakes for students. And if students are requesting accommodation, so they'll participate in a one-on-one meeting to understand, you know, what's available. I used to work in disability support services a while ago at another institution. And so I would always tell students, reach out early to have that conversation, provide your documentation, because you might need different documentation at the college level. I think that's something that is kind of a challenge to understand, the difference between focusing on success in K-12 education, and then it's about equal access to education at the post-secondary level. And so having that conversation early, because then you can get accommodations and you don't have to use them. But if you want accommodations in the middle of the semester, it does take a little bit of time. And so I always say, get it so you have it, and then you can decide if you want to use them later on. But we've got a lot of students who are registered with disability support services. We have a lot of neurodivergent students on campus. And so It's a nice welcoming environment, again, where everyone is, you know, I've said it again, but supporting one another. And so, and our faculty are supportive. Our staff are really great to support them.
Well, we really appreciate that overview. And Jen, I think, you know, I always put the Office of Undergraduate Admissions in the show notes. If there are any other links to any resources, those that you mentioned or any others, quite frankly, send them to me. And of course, we'll make them available to the students and their parents in the show notes. Now, You talked about a lot of innovation and opportunities, but can you highlight any other unique academic programs or research opportunities that set Mines apart from other engineering and technology-focused institutions?
Absolutely. So one that I love to brag about is we are one of only 5 universities that own a mine. Our mine, it's Edgar Experimental Mine, and it's about 20, 30 minutes away from us. Ours is the only mine, only university-owned mine with a Wi-Fi-enabled underground classroom. So it's a functioning mine. Students go and they learn about mining engineering, but it's also an interdisciplinary mine. And so students can go in and understand how that impacts maybe tunneling and construction. So it's really fun. And I love sharing about that. We have a ton of opportunities for students to get involved in research, which is something that I love sharing with students. We have our first, it's actually called our first year innovation and research scholar training. So it gets students, the minute that they come to Mines, they can get involved in research. And I always like looking at the topics that they have. And one is subsurface visualization and statistical modeling for tunneling projects. So again, really, really amazing things that students are doing. Yeah, and working with faculty. And again, the interdisciplinary nature of that means you don't have to only research within your major or your area of interest. You can explore any areas. We've got our library who are, you know, they're hosting some research projects. And then we've got our Mines Undergraduate Research Fellowship. We call it MURF. And then summer is our Summer Undergraduate Research Fellowship. Students can be involved in research their entire time on campus, which I think is a really awesome aspect, especially for an undergrad. And not many other places have as extensive amount of research that we do. I mean, we're an R1 institution, so it's really true problem solving, true game changing research opportunities that students can get involved in.
Well, there's definitely game changing researching opportunities. And I love the interdisciplinary nature of mines. And also, you mentioned that you're one of 5 universities that has a mine. However, you're the only one that has a classroom in it that has Wi-Fi access, which I think is so cool. So thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome.
And Jen, this has been an amazing conversation. Before I get to that last question, I need to ask you, are there any questions that I didn't ask or a topic that I simply didn't bring up that you'd like to share with us now?
I would love to share a little bit of something extra. So we have a new Welcome Week program. It's called Hell of a Welcome because we are Hell of an Engineers. It's part of our fight song. I'll give you the lyrics to it. It's pretty great. And so this year we bring students up to Estes Park and we go to what we call Ore Digger Camp. But then the end of our Welcome Week program is one of my most favorite traditions called the M Climb. So the M Climb is where students have to bring a 10-pound rock from their hometown, which is always really fun to explain to TSA as they're going through airport security. But they bring a 10-pound rock, they get a hard hat, and the hard hat is spray painted, and then they carry their rock and their hard hat, and they walk up Mount Zion to our giant M on Mount Zion, and they're singing the fight song the whole time. All of our clubs and organizations might be playing with water, squirt guns, or handing out popsicles. But it is such an amazing experience. And I love talking about it because it's so fun. And then students put their rocks on the M, and then the M is painted white. And so it glows, and there are lights on the M that are shined from all over. And you can see it all over the Denver metro area. It is one of my most favorite traditions and activities. So it's super fun.
Well, I think it's a great tradition, and it shows that you do so many things to bring the community together. First of all, again, your interdisciplinary opportunities, your community that you build. But again, doing a project like that really makes everyone feel part of the family, part of the Colorado School of Mines community, which is why, you know, you have a 92% retention rate, which is, you know, clearly unbelievable. Jen, this has been awesome. Unfortunately, it does lead us to that last question, which is, what are your top three pieces of advice that you would provide students and their parents getting ready for the college admissions process?
Oh, yes. I love this question. I'd say my first piece of advice is to enjoy this time. It's going to go by so fast. And I know, I feel like everyone talks about that, but enjoy the road trips, college visits, right? Hmm. Colleges are so much fun. They've got such unique history and cool places to eat. So make the most of that experience when you're visiting colleges and enjoy your senior year. Secondly, I would say breathe through the stress and the comparison that just, I think, is a natural part of the college admissions process, because can't help but look and hear what's happening to other students, but really try to breathe through that stress, try to breathe through just the tough conversations that are going to happen. And then lastly, I think it's really important to listen to one another, both students and parents. Say, parents, really trust your students. If they step foot onto a college campus and they said, you know what, this is not for me, trust them. I want you to really lean into that. And students, also listen to your parents. If they're, you know, if they're asking a question or if they're bragging about you, just listen. It's important. So that two-way street of listening.
Absolutely. Well, I can't thank you enough for your time, your insights. I'm so happy. Yes, I know that this is going to help so many students and their parents as they navigate through the college process. Jen, I hope to have you again. You're awesome.
Thank you, John. This has been so great.
It's been our pleasure. And to everyone out there, good luck with your college search. Take care, everyone, and best wishes. Thank you for joining us on this episode of The CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please don't forget to tell a friend and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. I am your host, John Durante, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of The CAP. Hey, podcast friends, if you've been enjoying the College Admissions Process Podcast, I'm excited to share my new book, Straight from the Admissions Office, Insider Strategies for College Applications. It's packed with insights and tips from over 250 podcast episodes with admissions professionals designed to make the college process less overwhelming. Whether you're a student, parent, or college counselor, it's a valuable resource for navigating the admissions process. By grabbing a copy, you're also helping to support the podcast. The links are in the show notes. Thank you, and best wishes to all with the college admissions process.